Welcome to the Phil Hendry Show pre-show here, all of my BSPs. We are sold out for the 30th of July, officially sold out now for the 30th of July for the one-man show, Truth Is Our Bitch, World of Phil Hendry, Truth Is Our Bitch. So I'm really grateful for that. I know so many of those tickets go to our backstage pass guys. You guys sort of lead the charge. I'm very grateful for that. And I really am. And, you know, we can just simply endeavor to keep moving forward here with, you know, what we're doing. And we will have a VIP package available for a lucky BSP. You know, I don't know what else we have planned extra. If I know my crew and if I know the guys producing our show, we're probably going to do a little something more for you guys as we get closer to the show. Which is a month away today, 1 month away. So we sold out July 17 and the 30th. So that's 13 days. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know where they got this thing where we sold out in 3 days. The first show, we didn't sell out in three fucking days. It took us at least a week, I think, to sell that show out, or maybe a little less, maybe 6 days. But this show was a 2 week thing. And, I'm so fucking tired. I'll tell you why I'm tired this morning. I got a good reason for being tired. I went to the drunk history party last night at the Alex Theater in Glendale. I'm going to tell you, you guys are going to love this fucking season of drunk history. It's just goddamn funny as shit. I mean, I'll give you a tip off here. Weird Al Yankovic as Hitler. All right. Yeah. You got it. Al's going to play Hitler in a couple of episodes. Guess who else is a performer in some of the sketches? Young Miss... you remember the actress Lisa Bonet? And a couple of up-and-coming young actresses, including the... you know, the great thing about this show, Drunk History, and I know Derek... in fact, met Derek, his family, his brother, was out from Baltimore. And I said to his brother, who's an older brother and taller, which Derek, you know, there's a lot of people taller than you, man. You know, he's a great man. But he said, what do you think of your brother? He said, very, very proud of my brother. He said, very proud of my brother. And I said, what do you do? The Derek Waters family, and Derek is, as I say, the producer of Drunk History. He says, well, my family is in the, they sell machine parts. They have been in, like, the hydraulic ball-bearing business or something for a long fucking time back in Maryland, in Baltimore. And so Derek is the showbiz arm of the family, came out to Hollywood. But I wanted to mention him, and I forgot to. I said, well, you know, Paul Newman's family was in the sporting goods business. And not that anybody would, you know, Paul Newman, the actor that, some of you guys may remember, if you're a little young, I would think the movie that you might remember him in would be like Nobody's Fool or these recent things like that. He also narrated some things for the Disney Channel, and he has his hole-in-the-wall gang camps for the underprivileged kids. Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, you know, that's probably one of his better-known movies. So Paul Newman, his family was a sporting goods family in Connecticut, and he was all set to return to the family fold and be a sporting goods executive when he got the acting bug and you know, he took off for New York. But Derek's brother was there, met his sister-in-law. We saw Morgan Murphy, who's a great lady. She's a funny-as-fuck stand-up comic. She's a writer, I think probably one of the head writers on Two Broke Girls. And Morgan was there, and we got to talking with her. She's just a terrific lady. And let's see, I didn't really, because what happened was is we were fucking starving. Just, I mean, no food all day. I'm goddamn famished. So I said, I know, and we'd been talking the night before with a guy down the street from our studio at one of the local eatery pubs on the beach here. And Saturday night, we popped in, having maybe a taste, you know. We were watching a Reds-Giants game because we wanted the Reds to win, Giants to lose, so the Dodgers could, you know, make some kind of a move there in the West. But anyway... and the bar was fairly well attended by Dodger fans with a smattering of Reds fans. The bartender was a Reds fan. So anyway, we're there, and this cat got to talking about Glendale. I said, well, I'm going to be going out to Glendale tomorrow night. He says, he mentioned Damon's, which is on brand. For those of you coming into, if you're visiting California, visiting L.A. this summer, and you want one of the out-of-the-way places in the Los Angeles area, you know, this is just one of those funky joints. Is it worth a drive all the way from wherever you are, if you're like centrally located, into Glendale for a dinner at Damon's? I mean, if you really want to get a slice of old Los Angeles, sure. You're going to be in there with a lot of just old, crazy people, man, and just neighborhood people. So I like that, man. I like to go to places where I'm going to get a little bit of a taste of the real, you know, world. Damon's is on Brand Avenue in Glendale. It's been there since 1980. The original Damon's was on Central in 1936. So from 36 until 80, it was on Central one block over. And because they were building the goddamn gallery or some bullshit, they moved it over to Brand. And Damon's sits there on Brand, and it is just about as funky a joint. It's got like a Polynesian theme, which is like apropos of nothing, but it's just cool that way. They have stuffed monkeys hanging from the fucking, you know, rafters. They've got goofy shit like that. They have a big fish tank, and then they have a menu of just like incredible steaks, prime rib. They have a chopped salad that's like, it's been their staple for I don't know how many years. But you got to go to Damon's, you get the chopped salad. They said, you want the house salad? That's what they mean. It's a chopped salad of cabbage and cilantro and a lot of other really, but it's just like a beautiful thing. And it also has on it, if you don't like Thousand Island dressing, don't get it. But for some reason, and I don't like Thousand Island dressing, I would never order Thousand Island dressing in a million fucking years on anything that I eat. But I get it on this thing because it's just, it's perfect, you know. So I had a prime rib, and other members of our party, so we had brisket, and just for you young ladies, as I like to always you know, say, and you guys, you got to remind your wife and your girlfriend all this shit, man, because they won't do it. They got to eat red meat, and I'm not talking about, you know, putting your meat in their mouth. I'm talking about the real fucking deal, man, because women with this bullshit fucking diet that they've been on for the last 20, 30, 40 years about carbohydrates and salads and shit. Well, yeah, guess what? You know, you're fucking yourself up. You got to have protein, man. So you take your girl out, your wife, your girlfriend, whatever, feed her a fucking steak. Forget about all the jokes about, you know, putting your meat in her mouth, because that wouldn't, you know, your meat, it wouldn't feed a fucking bird, and you know it. So anyway, I'm joking, but not really. So forget about, you know, giving nourishment that way, man, because you put that meat in anybody's mouth, and man, they'd starve to death. So you have to. So anyway, I had delicious, just fucking delicious, and as fate would have it, and I mean, fate, you know, intervened on my behalf last night, because I had myself a stupid drink, what we call a stupid drink. Stupid drinks are these, Chi-Chi's, Mai Tais, you know, Moscow Mule, all that bull, you know, skip and go naked, all that bullshit. That's a stupid drink. So, had stupid drinks. And then we, you know, got into the car. I had a stupid drink called I had a Singapore Sling. Whatever, man. I haven't had one of those fucking things in a long time. Because I drank a lot of tequila. I thought, well, fuck it. You know, let's. So we got in the car. We went down to the Alex Theater, which was a beautiful thing, just a block down the street. Swung around, parked it, boom, boom, got in, went in just in time to see the presentation of the evening, which was a select editing of some of the shows that are coming up on Drunk History. I'm telling you right now, you're gonna love it. It's funny as shit, and the interesting thing about Drunk History is you learn a lot, man. There's a lot of stuff in Drunk History that is, I didn't know. One of the episodes was absolutely out of the blue, great information that I did not have, and on a topic that you think you're really thoroughly informed about. Like everybody, we all think we know about the Montgomery bus boycott and the integration of the Montgomery bus services. We all think we know the story. Don't know the story. You don't know the story. there's a story behind the story, and it's there on Drunk History. And then we had a little bit of, they had an after party reception. I said we met up with just a bunch of folks and had a good time. All right, so tomorrow, I want to show you what we're thinking about today. Where's our network feed, man? There it is. Cleveland Indians are being sued for $9 billion by a Native American group. That's not it. Native American group is planning to file a $9 billion federal lawsuit against the Cleveland Indians and their offensive Chief Wahoo logo, according to CBS Cleveland. The suit is expected to be filed next month. You can read it right there. Robert Roche, or Roach, a Chickawa Apache, and director of the American Indian Education Center, is planning to file a federal lawsuit in late July against the Cleveland Indians organization. Now, you know what happened with the Washington Redskins. Because their logo is considered to be patently offensive, they lost their copyright protection. Now, I don't know just exactly what that's going to mean, but losing your copyright protection, it basically means that anybody can use your logo, anybody can use your team copyright, and they can infringe it. It wouldn't be infringing it. You've lost the copyright and the patent. You've lost patent protection on your logo. I don't know about copyright protection. The patent protection, it means anyone can use that logo, anyone can use the name Washington Redskin for whatever purpose they so desire within the law. But I could start right now the Washington Redskin website. And I might even be able to say that it's the official website of the Washington Redskins, because the Washington Redskins might say, that's not the official site. Ours is the official site of what? The Washington Redskins. There's no patent protection for that name. Now, if you want the Washington National Football League Club, we can maybe talk about how we can protect you that way, but we cannot protect you with the Washington Redskin name. So, that kind of thing. Now, how rampant will that be? When the season begins, and I haven't seen anything, because I'm not sure people really quite understand, and there's not really a lot of ill will toward the Redskins so much as there's questions about the logo, so... That's what's going on there, man.
Now,
probably ought to have Harvey Wehrman in here. Maybe Harvey? We'll see. Take a look at our character sheet.
Chug-a-lug-a-lab-a-nub-a-nub-a-nub-a-nub-a.
Yeah, I think it'll be Dave Oliva, maybe. Karen Deauville. I think Ted Bell would be a riot with that topic. My international harvester. We have the Word Network on today, if you haven't seen it yet. This is the Word Network. Last Friday we had on the Eternal Word television network, which was the Catholic. This is the Protestant Evangelical Bible Bang Network. You dig what I'm saying? Here's Bill Winston. This is Bill Winston. I have no fucking clue, man. I wouldn't know Bill Winston from the man on the goddamn moon here, you know. Here you go. I'm not knocking it, you know. I don't want people to think that I'm... I really, honest to God, I'm not anti-religion, man. I really am not. I'm anti-corrupt organization, you know. And religions can be corrupt only from the standpoint that the organization that governs them is corrupt. What the fuck is this motherfucker doing? Come on, man. Knock it off. Quit with the theatrics with the goddamn... I don't know why that irritated the shit out of me. Take your fucking tie off and throw it on the floor and... Anyway, all right, so where were we? Yes. Yes. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to get me a notepad on this motherfucker, and I'll go get me Ted Bell on the Cleveland Indians. Because Ted's got his sports bar thing. We're getting heavier into that. Ted needs some legal advice on this, man, you know, on the Chief Wahoo. What else we got going on here, bro? Well, let me show you. Let me show y'all what we got here. So there's the Cleveland Indians. The 8 most bizarre marijuana products on the market today. What would those be? Well, weed beef jerky, weed soda pop. I've seen that. Belt buckle pipe. Weed spray, stainless steel, gravity bong accessories, weed pizza, weed pork, weed coffee. Now, there's something that ought to be fucking looked at very closely, because I might even get that shit. Although, I'm not, like I said, I'm not a weed. Weed for me, just don't get it done. I will very clearly state, marijuana has a negative effect on my biochemistry. I have smoked a shit potload of that stuff in my life back in the day. I won't lie to you, and I think it's probably okay now to say that. There would be a time when I would not tell you that, because I wouldn't want people to get the wrong idea about good old Phil here. But, I did smoke a lot of weed. And while I enjoyed it early on in my weed smoking, I liked it a lot. As things got, you know, later in my life, I didn't dig it. It affected me in a very negative way. I got hyper, I got nervous, I got, you know, and so I gave that shit up. I think Steve Bozell is a very good guy to have for this one. Maybe. I don't know. Let's see. I don't know. Clarington. Brassville and away, the Steve Bozell. Maybe Steve Bozell. My international harvester. What the hell is this? Dooley, the weed pork. Mm-hmm. 8:51. Okay. All right. So there's that. Now, next story. Check this one out, man. Border Patrol finds a pound of meth in a woman's vagina. What in the fuck? You gotta be kidding me, man. Well, no, they're not kidding me, because there it is. Today, in found on the border, trying to smuggle a pound of meth in the United States by hiding the stash in her vagina. One fucking pound? Take a look at this. Brother, obviously, she is able to accommodate something that I dare say neither you nor I are bringing, and nor would we want to, considering just exactly what, you know, may be going on there. Look at this. Cop smells pot. Phoenix woman pulls bag of weed and pipe out of her vagina. What the fuck is up with this shit? This is obviously some bullshit that... Okay. Mm. Dr. Ron Turner. That's weird, man. Chemotherapy Barbie. It's Chemotherapy Barbie, new Barbie doll designed to help little girls with cancer, and she comes with her own wig range. I guess there's going to be somebody who's pissed off at that, huh? But seems like a healthy thing, little kids. And then we have Wimbledon. They're wearing... Female tennis players play braless after organizers ban non-white sports bras. Meaning, you can't wear a dark bra. You have to wear a white bra. So they're going to play braless. And, yeah, there's not really a whole lot to see there. And I'm not really, you know, I'm not trying to be a sexist swine, but... Several players have been spotted braless, including British star Naomi Brody. Well, I mean... How do you know? Anyway, some of the girls have been told to go back and change their bras and tops because they had slight color on them. I believe some of the girls didn't have suitable sports bras and had to go without them. It has absolutely gone ridiculous. Wimbledon issued new guidelines this year stating that players may only break up their all-white outfits with a colored trim or blah, 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 blah. That was what the problem was. The colored sports bra was being seen through the thing. So, on my international harvester. Let's see here. No, that's Ted Bell. Ted Bell, Indians. I don't know who this is. Kurt Queedy, Guy Barton, maybe. Sports bras. That's not anything having to do with them. I don't know who would do that. Probably Margaret. Anything that I can't figure out the character for, I'll just have Margaret or the general do, you know. Finally, we have... Oh, this is going to be fascinating. I don't know what the fuck this is about. Nancy Grace tells man his missing son is alive on TV, then things get weird. Now, I don't know what that means exactly, but... Let's check this shit out, man. Is there actually video on this piece of shit? I don't think so. Let's see. Here it is here.
With me is his father, Charlie Boffel. Charlie, in your basement.
Oh, please. Oh, my God.
Sir?
What?
Detroit that we're trying to confirm. Everybody in New York, please get on it. Let me know when we get Charlie Langton from WWJ. Sir, did you check your basement?
I checked my basement. The FBI checked my basement. The Detroit police checked my basement. My wife checked my basement. I've been down there several times. We've all been checking.
This is what we are hearing, that the missing 12-year-old boy has been found alive and well in his father's basement. Now, this is what I don't understand, why you guys would have reported he's missing, and all our viewers have been on the lookout for him.
We've been on the lookout for him. We searched that entire house repeatedly. The FBI searched, Detroit police searched, we've all searched. God, they brought dogs, everything. Everybody is searched. What? Okay, my son.
Have you checked your cell phone?
My cell phone is dead. I actually getting down here. I left it in the car charging because it had died on me. Okay.
And you're telling us that you searched your basement and your wife searched your basement.
I searched my basement. My wife searched my basement.
I wouldn't be.
I searched my basement.
What is this story?
He searched my basement. We've all searched my basement multiple times.
All right, I got to get on the air here. Hold on. I got to get on the air here. This is fucking weird, man. What's the story with this kid? What's the story with this kid? You know? What's going on here, man? Check it out, man. You know what? You dig what I'm putting down, man? What the fuck is going on here, man? Because if I don't find out what the fuck is going on here, I'm going to get pissed off in about 5 goddamn seconds. In about 5 goddamn seconds, I want to be pissed off. All right, we're going to get on the air here right this second to all of our Listen Live and our tune-in people. So stick the fuck around as this breaking story is coming to us. I don't even want to deal with it as a breaking story, but... hold on, we're going to get on into our live show here in just a second. I welcome all of our, I welcome all of our Listen Live and all of our tune-in listeners. Listen Live and tune-in listeners, good morning and welcome to our feed here of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com and everything in between. I hope you all are having a splendiferous kind of a thing of a day. Whatever. Let's rock and roll and get the show on the road.